With you, let's turn to the book of Exodus chapter 20. And if you're new to the church, let me just tell you, we are into part four of our exciting series. We're looking at the Ten Commandments. And luckily, all three of the previous sermons are available online on the website, free of charge, and you can catch up that way. But this morning, we're looking at number four, and it's found in Exodus chapter 20 and verse 8 to 11. Right, here we go with number four. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall do no work, neither you nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them. But he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Father, thank you for your amazing word. I thank you, Lord, your word is God-breathed, it's Holy Spirit-inspired. It's full of life and truth and wisdom. And so, Father, I pray you give us wide-open hearts, receptive minds to receive your word and to respond to it this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, the Sabbath, or for those of you who know Hebrew, the Shabbat, for thousands of years has formed part of Jewish life and Jewish culture. And in fact, for those who went on the Israel trip a couple of months ago, you would have experienced the Shabbat or the Sabbath firsthand. In many ways, Jewish life and culture and commerce and certainly religion for thousands of years has revolved around the Shabbat or the Sabbath. I remember being in Istanbul, Turkey, a couple of years ago speaking at a conference, and in the hotel's lobby there was an elevator. And as I got to the elevator, a whole group of Orthodox Jews were there in their outfits, and they were waiting at the elevator for somebody to push the button to open the door because it was the Shabbat, the Sabbath. And pushing the button in their culture would mean work. And so they said, Mark, can you please push the button for us? And so I did it and took them to their floors. So I want us to begin this morning by unpacking just some key words in verses 8 and 9 as we explore the subject together. The first part of the verse says, remember the Sabbath day. Now, by definition, Sabbath means to stop, to pause, to cease, and to rest. So if you look in the dictionary, and you look up the word Sabbath, to stop, to pause, to cease, and to rest. So you're talking here about 1 day out of 7, that you push the pause button, and you stop doing what you usually do, to rest, to cease, and to stop. And so life on this particular day looks very different to the other 6 days of your week. But the second key word is the word holy. It says there, remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. Now, what does holy mean? Holy means sanctified. It means different. It means set apart. So often we say, God, you are holy. What are we saying? God, you are different to us. You are set apart. You are sanctified. And so this day is a day that has been set apart for a specific purpose. But now, the question is, what is the purpose? And we'll get to that now in a second. It says there, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. There's your purpose. So this day, 1 out of 7, has been set aside. It's been sanctified. It's been declared different for the express purpose to give you a chance to focus your attention on God without the normal pressures of everyday life. And we'll explore that now practically going forward. So, of course, this is something I need to say in the beginning. Our context, our circumstances are vastly different from the context of the original hearers. And so we need to take this command, this principle, and in a sense contextualize it to our context. And we'll do that now in a second. Remember, the commandment was first given to the Israelites as they came out from Egypt. Now, bearing in mind, they'd been slaves in Egypt working for how many days a week? 7 days. So as slaves, there was no day off. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. As a slave in Egypt, you grafted. 7 days a week. So this would have been a new concept to them. Wow, we can rest for one day. What a bonus. Okay, so this was a new concept. They were used to working 7 days. Now God says one day off. By the way, many of us are used to working a 40-hour week, especially those in the corporate world. And if you're lucky, you get 2 days a week off. We call it the weekend. You get Saturday and you get Sunday. Now, interesting, the Bible doesn't speak about a 5-day working week. It only speaks about a 6-day working week with 1 day off. So if you're getting 2 days off a week, you're getting a bestseller. You're getting a bonus day. Make sure you use that day well. But generally speaking, we work for 6 and we rest for 1. Now, this is what I found fascinating, and maybe you will as well. The principle of the Sabbath was actually in operation in Jewish culture way before the actual command was given. So, for example, you remember as the Israelites were transitioning from being slaves to being free, they went through the wilderness for a period of 40 years. Remember that? During those 40 years, what did God provide for them? He provided for them manna. Every morning, this bread-like substance would appear, and for 40 years, God provided them with manna. They would collect it, and they'd eat it. Now, manna by definition means what? What is it? That's what it means. So they'd wake up in the morning and poke their heads out of their tents and see this strange, mysterious, white substance on the ground. And they would say, what is it? And so that's what manna means. This unidentifiable, strange, sort of supernatural substance given by God for 40 years. Now, those of us with young kids, we can relate to that sort of word because we cook them supper and we give it to them. And they look at us and say, what is it? And we just say, eat it. Don't worry what it is, just eat it. And so this manna appeared over a period of 40 years. But interesting, on the 7th day of the week, fascinating, no manna would be available. So for 6 days, the manna would appear, and on the 7th day, no manna would be available. And so God says to the people, on the 6th day, collect some extra manna that you can use to eat on the 7th day. And have a look at, I think I've got the verse up for you on the big screen. So this is what the Lord commanded. Tomorrow is to be a day of Sabbath rest, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. So bake what you want to bake, in our context, bry what you want to bry, boil what you want to boil, save whatever is left and keep it until morning. So they saved it until morning as Moses had commanded them, and it did not stink or get maggots in it. Eat today, Moses said, because today is a Sabbath to the Lord. You will not find any of it on the ground today. 6 days you are to gather it, but on the 7th day, the Sabbath, there will not be any available. So this principle of Sabbath, of working 6, resting 1, was actually in operation way before the actual command was given in Exodus chapter 20. I found that very interesting. Now, of course, when the law was originally given, it was given to people who were collecting manna, but then they became farmers. They progressed from being manna collectors to being subsistence farmers. So they're now in occupation. But God says to them, the same principle, now that you're working, still applies. You can plow your land. You can use your animals. You can put your servants to work for 6 days of the week. But on the 7th day, everyone is to rest, even the animals and the land. And in fact, if you do some research, once every 7 years was a Sabbath year for the land. So you couldn't plow the land, you couldn't work the land. For 1 year out of 7, the land itself would rest. So interesting how this principle was woven into the very fabric of Jewish society. Now, very important, where is the principle of Sabbath rooted? This is a key question. Have a look at verse 11. This is a critical verse to consider. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, but he rested. In other words, God rested on the 7th day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and he hallowed it. So, in other words, God modeled the Sabbath for us in his own life. He created the universe. He created the earth for 6 days. On the 7th day, he rested. Now, my mind thinks like this. God, why would you need to rest? Isaiah says you don't get tired. you don't slumber nor sleep, why would you need to rest on the seventh day? Interesting, huh? Well, if you read Genesis chapter 2, you'll find that God creates in 6 days, and then he sits back and he says, what I've made is very good. Every day he says, it's good, it's good, it's good, it's good. But at the end of 6 days, he says, it's very good. So God used that Sabbath day as a day to reflect on his work, to look at what he had done, and to evaluate it, and to take pride in it. Now, guys, as you model your life on that pattern, you're modeling your life on the pattern and rhythm of God. 6 days you work, 1 day you build a margin in for looking back and reflecting and thinking. Otherwise, you become like a hamster on a treadmill. You're just going and going and going and going, and there's no margin for thinking. In our family, we've built in a margin of a certain time of the week, a certain time of the day, when as a family we push pause and we do what God did. We look back on the 6 days and we say, in our marriage, how are we doing? How are we doing with our children? Are we managing our money well, our time well? How are we doing? But without this principle, you're just going for it. And there's no margin for evaluation and for reflection. And so the Sabbath helps you to push the pause button and to think about your life in all its different facets. It's very important. Now, if you look at that verse, there's two things God did specifically to the Sabbath. If you see, number one, he blessed the Sabbath. And number two, he hallowed the Sabbath. Those are two critical words. He blessed the Sabbath and he hallowed the Sabbath. Now, let's see how those two words are connected. If God blesses something or someone, what does that mean? We pray for it all the time. God, won't you bless Michael? Won't you bless his marriage? Won't you bless his family? What are we talking about when we use the word blessing? We're saying, God, won't you favor that person? Won't you cause your face to shine upon that person? May that person become aware of your presence. May there be growth and prosperity and development in that person's life. May there be joy and peace and all the good things that flow from God. May those things manifest themselves in that person's context. Blessing carries a huge connotation to it. And so when we speak about God blessing the Sabbath day, it's like God's given you a specific day where, man, you can experience his growth, his prosperity, his favor. You can meet with God's people, hear God's word taught, and you can grow and develop blessing upon that day. But not just blessing, he also hallowed it. In other words, he made it holy. It's a day set apart to be different from other days. If all 7 days of your week look the same, then you've got a problem. 1 day must look different from the other six. That's what it means to. So now, let's apply the principle. If I've hallowed a day, and we'll see in a few moments, the actual day you choose is not important. You may choose a Sunday, a Saturday, a Friday, a Wednesday. The day itself's not important. But if you can choose 1 day to hallow, to say, Lord, I'm going to rest myself physically. I'm going to evaluate my life in its different facets. I'm going to worship you primarily on that day. I've hallowed this day. The blessing flows. Those two words are linked. You will never shortchange yourself through hallowing a day, through setting aside 1 out of 7 to say, Lord, family, evaluation, and God first. Blessing will flow. How many of you have found that to be true? You get out the rat race. You push pause, and the blessing of God begins to flow as you choose to hallow a day in the week. Now, this is amazing for us living in the corporate world, and for those in business, you'll like this one. The Sabbath was also a sign of their dependency on God financially. Let me explain to you why. Because the Israelites, as they entered the promised land, were suddenly surrounded by people who didn't apply this principle. This was a foreign principle to them. Resting 1 out of 7, they worked 7 out of 7. No rest. And so the question was, how are you going to remain competitive in a business environment where your competitors are working 7 out of 7? aren't you shortchanging yourself? Aren't you going to be the loser through giving up one day to God? And so this was a countercultural move. You're surrounded by people who've got their stores open 7 out of 7, and are you closing shop for one of those days? How can you be competitive? How can you make a living? And their answer was, you know what? We're going to trust God for His provision. We're going to choose to honor God. Yes, we could be making money. Yes, we could have our businesses open, but we're going to choose to evaluate, to build a margin of rest, build a fire, brass some meat, have a walk on the beach, wet a line, be with God's people, pray, hear God's words. We're going to do that rather than earn money, and we believe that by honoring God, we're going to be blessed. Interesting, eh? So sometimes this principle goes countercultural to what we see all around us. Now, this is also important because often we find our identity as human beings, our significance is often linked to what we do. So when somebody meets you, they'll say, Belinda, nice to meet you. By the way, what do you do? And then you explain what your occupation is. And often your occupation, your role in society is linked to your feeling of worth and significance. So if a man gets retrenched, ask any man who's been retrenched, that knocks their self-esteem. Sometimes they never recover because what they do, what their position was linked to their identity. And so this is a sign, actually, that my identity is not linked to my occupation. My identity is linked to who I am in Christ. That never changes. Sylvester Stallone. How many of you watch the Rocky movies? How many of you watch the first Rocky movie, the only good one? The rest were rubbish. But in the first Rocky movie, somebody comes to Sylvester Stallone. Big muscles, remember him? And they say, Sylvester Stallone, Rocky, why are you working so hard? And this is what he said. And I'll try and put the accent on like he did it. He said, I want to go the distance. Then they'll know I'm not a bum. That was his response. Why are you grafting 7 days a week? Because I want to go the distance and prove myself that I'm worth something. And I'll sacrifice my marriage, my children, my time with God to prove to the world that I can do it. Significance linked to work. What about Ben Johnson? I think it was 1989. He was lined up for the 100-meter sprint in the Olympic Games. And before the race, somebody said, Ben, why have you worked so hard? This is what he said. He's a Canadian, but I won't speak in a Canadian accent. I'll just stick to English. He said, I have 10 seconds to justify my existence. In other words, these 10 seconds will define who I am. My whole life has been geared towards winning this gold medal. And if it doesn't work out, I'm in trouble. And we all know what happened to Ben. He cheated. He took anabolic steroids. And he was disqualified. Never to run again. Folk, I want to encourage you. We live in a world that's screaming to you. Prove yourself through what you do. Work, 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 work. Make more money. Justify your existence. Prove yourself. And you say, you know what? I could do that. But for 6 days of the week, I'm going to graft. And for one day of the week, I'm going to enjoy my marriage, my children, the beach, the bra, and Jesus. I'm going to rest on one day. Because I find my significance, I find my value, not in what you tell me I am. I find my significance in who Jesus tells me I am. And that never changes. It sets you free from trying to prove yourself. One day a week, take yourself out the rat race, focus on family, and focus on Jesus. You'll never be the loser for doing that. Right, you might be asking yourself the question as we get close to wrapping it up. Why on earth did the Christians change the Sabbath from a Saturday to a Sunday? Remember, for thousands of years, the Jewish people worshipped on Saturday. Saturday was the Sabbath. What day is today? What? Sunday. So we fiddle with the equation. It was always Saturday, now we're worshiping on Sunday. My question is why? Do you know? Oh, best I tell you. Let's have a look. Well, Jesus died on the Friday. We know that for a fact. He rose from the dead on the Sunday. Keep that in mind. Matthew, Mark, and Luke tell us that in the Jewish calendar, Sunday was the first day of the week. So in other words, for them, Sunday was like our Monday when all of you go back to work. Except for me, I go fishing. But for you, you go back to work, I go to the rocks. For them, Sunday was the start of the week. Now with that in mind, let me read these verses to you. On the first day of the week, now this is Luke in the book of Acts, writing to the first Christians, okay? So they're people like us, followers of Jesus Christ, but the first. He says, on the first day of the week, that would be Sunday, we gathered together to break bread, and Paul spoke to the people. So we broke bread this morning. I'm now in Paul's place. I'm preaching. All this happened on the first day of the week, which is a Sunday. 1 Corinthians 16:2, another church now meeting in Corinth. Paul writes, on the first day of every week, that would be Sunday, each of you should set aside a sum of money in keeping with your income. They're talking there about giving an offering specifically to the poor, and this meeting was happening on the first day of the Jewish week, which was a Sunday. And so this transition was beginning to happen. Now, how many of you have been to the Middle East, traveled? How many of you have been to Southeast Asia, Pakistan, Bangladesh, those sort of areas, Indonesia? When do Christians meet in that part of the world? No. They meet on Friday. Friday. Come to Turkey. When do you meet? You meet Friday. Saudi Arabia, Iran, Indonesia, Bangladesh. They all meet on Friday. Friday is the holy day. If you go to America, when do some of the churches there meet? On a Saturday evening, some on a Wednesday evening. And so we're going to learn something important. Let's go to the next slide. Romans 14:5, Paul says, one person considers one day more sacred than another. Another considers every day alike. In other words, every day could be considered a holy day in some person's mind. But the important thing is each of them should be fully convinced in their own mind. What's Paul saying? Paul's saying it's more about the who you worship than the when you worship. Don't become a legalist. And we'll see now the problem with that in a second. It's not about the when, it's about the who. So we could meet on a Friday, a Wednesday, a Sunday, a Saturday. That's not significant. The significant thing is the who rather than the when. And we'll unpack that now in a second. John Piper, famous pastor, once said these words. He said, it's a matter of personal conscience as to how we put this command into practice. We've got people in our church who are firemen. We've got people who are policemen. We've got people who are doctors. And some of them are forced through circumstance to work on a Sunday. They would love to be here, but they can't be here. So what do? They apply this principle in their own space. They find a day, 1 out of 7, where they can draw near to God and rest their bodies. It's the who rather than the when that's of critical importance. Now, Jesus, let's wrap it up with a quick look at Jesus. Did Jesus take the Sabbath seriously? Did he? Oh, my goodness, he did. Luke 4:16. Jesus went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day, he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. So Jesus didn't wake up and say, well, I wonder what I should do today. Looks like the fish are biting. The waves are cooking. It's time to go and braai. Jesus didn't negotiate with the Sabbath. When the day came, he went to the synagogue to meet with God's people. Guys, let me tell you, people say, Mark, why do you go to church week after week, week after week? Because you're a pastor? No. I go to church week after week because Jesus did. If Jesus needed to go to church, if he found it so valuable to be with God's people, why should I pick and choose? I follow in the footsteps of my Christ, of my Lord. And on Sunday mornings, I don't find myself fishing or playing golf or surfing. I find myself in the house of God with God's people. That's where I find myself. So, eventually what happens is the religious leaders. Oh my goodness. These guys are always up to no good. They find Jesus on the Sabbath day enjoying a mealy. He's walking through the mealy fields. He finds a piece of corn. He takes it off the plant cob, and he starts to do this with the corn in his hand, and he begins to eat it on the Sabbath nochal. And the religious leaders come and they say, Jesus, you are violating the Sabbath by eating corn. How's that for legalism? You're violating the Sabbath through eating millies. Bondage, man. Legalism. You know what Jesus said to them? I am the Lord of the Sabbath. I invented the Sabbath. Now, where's my mealy? Don't give me your rules and regulations. You religious bigots. Don't come and give me your rules. I invented the day. I'm the Lord of the Sabbath. And so Jesus found this balance. He found the balance of going to synagogue week after week. It was his custom. He didn't neglect it. But he also wasn't caught up in legalism. Don't eat the corn. He found the balance. Wow. Be careful not to impose your laws and your regulations upon other people. The Sabbath is meant to be a blessing, not a burden. Right, let's close over with Isaiah 58:13. This is a highlight. Isaiah says, if you keep your feet from breaking the Sabbath and from doing as you please on your holy day, listen to this. If you call the Sabbath day a delight, a what? Is it a delight to come to church? Is it? Is it a burden? No, it's a blessing. Is it a delight to hear me preach? Don't answer. If you call the Sabbath day a delight and the Lord's holy day honorable, and if you honor it by not going your own way and not doing as you please or speaking idle words, listen. Then you'll find joy in the Lord. Hey, how many of you guys need joy in your lives? Push pause. Find one day a week to stop. Close the shop. Spend time with family. Walk on the beach and draw close to God. You'll find joy in that space. Joy. Not just that. And I will cause you, listen to these beautiful words, to ride in victory on the heights of the land and to feast, wow, on the inheritance of your father Jacob. Does that sound like good news? Who ever told you the Sabbath was a burden? This is a blessing, joy, victory, feasting. May God give you the courage in a countercultural world that goes against the grain to put this wonderful command into practice and experience the joy, the triumph, and the feasting that comes from doing things God's way. Amen? Awesome. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much. What a powerful command. What a wonderful command and principle that is. And Lord, we just want to take a moment now to just realign our lives and to think through what our weeks consist of. And Lord, just to make sure that we are honoring the spirit of this principle, of this command. Lord, for those of us who have got sidetracked and we've made recreation or business or other things more important than being in your house with your people, Father, we just want to say sorry for that and to realign our priorities again. Father, we need a day to enjoy our marriages. We need a day to rest physically, to walk on the beach and to enjoy your creation. And we need a day to draw close to you especially. So Lord, help us to hallow this day. Help us to find time to do the important things in life. I pray, Lord, especially for my friends involved in the corporate world, in the business world. I pray, Lord, that what they may lose through closing shop on a Sunday, you'll make up to them in other ways. Just bless them with joy and victory and peace. Father, thank you for the joy of doing things your way. You've got so much wisdom and so much guidance. And Father, today we choose to do things the right way, God's way. And Father, may we know your blessing as we choose to do that. Thank you so much, Lord. This is not a burden, this is a blessing. In Jesus' great name, amen.